today on Real Radio.
Hey, listen, if you're listening right now, if this is a podcast, you're listening later, or you're viewing right now, you ought to be like these people are here on a Wednesday night. Go to church. Well, I don't need the church to save me. Of course you don't. It has nothing to do with it. But for community, for family, for relationship, God says go to church.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called With God's Defense, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. The prophet Isaiah prophesied during one of the most turbulent periods in Judah's history. Isaiah was constantly given messages from God about the moral breakdown of the times. As a matter of fact, his prophecies were so prolific that he was often quoted in the New Testament, even talking about visions of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and about his return when he sets up his millennial kingdom here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 35, we saw the Battle of Armageddon come to an end and the beginning of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Our future in God's kingdom will be filled with joy. We won't experience death, but we'll have bodies that are eternal and without the effects of sin. God will create a new paradise here on earth during his thousand-year reign. But until then, we can experience kingdom living when we accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. Now in Isaiah chapters 36 through 39, Isaiah pauses to deal with events that are currently happening in Judah. So today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when our faith starts to waver, we start to lose hope. But God intervened on Judah's behalf because King Hezekiah prayed and laid out a serious threat before him. Our enemy Satan also wants to destroy our lives, but when we hand our troubles over to the Lord, he'll respond in our lives as he did with King Hezekiah. And now continuing his lesson called With God's Defense, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And so Hezekiah tells his ambassadors a good word. When that guy's done shooting his mouth off, say nothing. And that's wisdom for our day. You don't need to answer. It's a great thing. It's a good thing. So, he don't answer them a thing. Verse 22, then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household of Shibna, the scribe, and Joah, and the son of Asaph, and the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn. That's a sign of grief. That's a great sign of grief in the Middle East. And told him the words of Rabshakeh. Verse 37, or chapter 37, verse 1. And so it was, when King Hezekiah heard that, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Good word there. He hears all of this stuff. Wise guy. Goes to the house of the Lord. When trouble comes, where do you go? Listen, sometimes when trouble comes to believers' lives, they get mad at God. That's weird. The enemy's attacking. Why would we get, God's the one that's going to take care of us. Hezekiah does the right thing. What? He tears his clothes in grief. He's lamenting. He goes right to the house of God. Good thing. We need to do that more. Go to church. Hey, listen, if you're listening right now, if this is a podcast, you're listening later, or you're viewing right now, you ought to be like these people are here on a Wednesday night. Go to church. Well, I don't know. You know, go to church. The Bible says in the last days, as you see the days approaching the end, do not forsake gathering together. Get up and go. Go to a church teaching the Bible. Honor the name of Jesus. Go worship God. Go to church. Do it. God's commanded it. Go to it. Well, I don't need the church to save me. Of course you don't. It has nothing to do with it. But for community, for family, for relationship, God says go to church. Verse 2, he says, then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household of Shibna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. Now watch what happens. For the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. What a sad statement. Can you imagine, ladies? Yikes. You're so tired that it's time for delivery and you have no energy to push the baby out. It's time to just die. Baby dies, I die, we all die. These guys are saying, we've lost hope. Hezekiah is getting also depressed. He's gone into the house of God, but it's overshadowed him. We're rent our clothes. Destruction is inevitable. Isaiah, they run to the prophet. Isaiah, we've lost all strength. It's like we were having hope and now it's all gone. Isaiah's got a good word coming. It may be, look down to verse 4. It may be that the Lord your God, Hezekiah is saying, listen, will hear the words the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, listen, and will reprove the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus shall you say to your master, thus says the Lord. So Isaiah tells the guys, go back and tell King Hezekiah this. Now notice, King Hezekiah's faith is starting to waver, and his ambassador's faith starting to waver. You say, how do you know that? Because they're starting to lose their emotional and faith foundation when they say, Isaiah, talk to God, your God. Do you hear that? Your God. They're starting to lose it. And we know this not just by English, but the Hebrew is, you know what, we're losing hope. Maybe God's abandoned us. No, he's not going to abandon you. And so Isaiah said to them, verse 6, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. This is awesome. What's God doing? Isaiah says, this is what the Lord says. Go back and tell Hezekiah. God is about to intervene. Don't be afraid of those words. Stand strong. Why? What's the Lord going to do? It says that God is going to send. The word is amazing. God is going to allow a spirit. Now, we don't know from this verbiage if it's a demonic spirit or if it's an angel of the Lord, a spirit. But God is saying, all right, take heart, people. I'm going to intervene. By whatever means, Sennacherib is going to hear a rumor in his head. Don't you love this? This is covert activity, man. This is special ops. Because you know what? You can have the best of the best. But if a thought enters somebody's mind and it intensifies, you got him. And God says, don't worry about it. Watch this. And it either means that God stepped back and a spirit went after Sennacherib's mind, head, thinking, or a demon spirit went after. It doesn't matter because the effect is going to be awesome. Verse 8, so Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he had departed from Lachish, and the king heard concerning, and he lists these names, this Turk guy, king of Ethiopia. He has come out to make war. So all this stuff's going on in his head. It's awesome. Things are being raised up. Verse 10, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Syria. So the countermeasure is to try to put fear back in Hezekiah's mind. Verse 11, look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done in all the lands by utterly destroying them, and will you be delivered? In other words, it's hopeless. Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom fathers have destroyed? Gozan and Haran and Rizvah and the people of Eden and who were in Telesphar? Where is the king of Hamath and Arpad? So again, they're mocking. They're saying none of these people were able to stand up against. Verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter. This is what it was saying that we just read a moment ago. And the hand of the messenger and read it, and Hezekiah went to the house of the Lord and spread it out, or spread it forth, means place it forth, spread it out before the Lord. Verse 14, mark that down. We need to do this in our lives. Is something troubling you? Spread it out before the Lord. We need to actually do that. Harassment, issues, problems, sickness. What is it? Take it and spread it out before the Lord. Are you being attacked? Is it a business thing? Are you being sued? Take it before the Lord. Lay it down. Hezekiah again acts properly. I'm going to take it before the Lord. And look at verse 15. Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts. That's, by the way, O Lord of armies. That's a good way to pray. God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, who has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their lands. That's true, but the Lord wasn't the God of those nations. And have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands. Isn't that always the case? Wood and stone, therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria. I love that, because you've prayed to me. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him, Sennacherib. This is great. This is God. Oh, yeah? Hey, okay, Sennacherib, you wrote Hezekiah a note? God says, I'm going to write you a note. It's great. Here it is. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning Sennacherib. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. That's a very, very insulting thing to do in the Middle East. So it is to wag the head. You don't wag the head at somebody, or you don't stick out the tongue and wag the head. You get knocked out if you do that. They have different gestures, and they're very expressive. Verse 23, whom you have reproached and blasphemed, against whom you have raised your voice. Isn't that great? The guy was yelling at Hezekiah's men. God heard it. And God didn't say, shame on you for yelling at my boys. God says, I heard that. I like that. I like that. You raised your voice to me, God is saying. You lifted up your eyes on high. In other words, you arrogant bunch of nuts, against the Holy One of Israel. By your servants, you have reproached the Lord and said, by the multitude of my chariot. Watch this, by the way. I'm curious if you pick up on this. The Lord is saying, Sennacherib, this is what you have said. And if Sennacherib is like the form of Satan, and I believe that he is like a Satan, notice, remember in Isaiah 14, there's the five I wills of Lucifer. Have you noticed that Satan's sons and daughters talk like him? Listen to this. I have come up to the heights of the mountains. Ooh. To the limits of Lebanon. I rule. That's what he said. I will cut down its tall cedars and its choice cypress trees. I will enter its furthest height to its fruitful forest. I have dug and drunk water. And with the soles of my feet, I have dried up all the brooks of defense. He is so boastful. And by the way, there's five of those eyes. Did you not hear long ago how I made it from, this is the Lord now responding. Did you not hear long ago how I made it from ancient times that I formed it? Now I have brought it to pass that you should be for crushing fortified cities into heaps of ruin. In other words, Sennacherib, you think you're such a hotshot? I actually, in my sovereignty, I used you when I needed to use you. You think you're doing it on your own? It's awesome. Look at verse 27. Therefore, their inhabitants had little power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the green herb, as the grass of the housetops, and as the grain blighted before it is grown. But I know your dwelling place. Wow, can you imagine God turning to you? You've been nasty to God's people and you're godless, and God says, I know exactly where you live. You think you've got GPS on your camel? I've got GPS on your head. You're going out and you're coming in. I know exactly what's going on. And your rage against me. God says, I know that you're angry at me. Did you see the people that gathered on the White House lawn? Or not the White House lawn, the mall. The Washington Mall. And I didn't know this till just recently. But there's ladies, there were women gathering. And they're saying that they were nasty women. Nasty women, they had signs. And I'm thinking, that's weird. Well, I didn't realize. Now, you know, after all the interviews and stuff, and it's all about abortion. Because in the campaign, Trump or somebody said that that agenda, killing babies, that's that nasty. And somebody said nasty women do that. And so the whole thing was this. We're all upset because we want to have the ability to abort children. And it's all convoluted. It's very mean. It's very ugly. It's very terrible. But there's this angst. And some people got beat up. Some people got pushed around and all this stuff. But the thing is this, bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, bottom line, church, the rage of the godless is against God. Don't take it personal. I asked him, well, you know who he is, Tony Perkins. I said, Tony, you just got done talking to that guy who's on CNN. He was talking to that guy, and this guy's in his face. And there's Tony. You ever seen him? And how'd you do that? Tony, how'd you do that? I just watched you. What happened? And he just, Jack, I pray. Man, I pray and I pray. And then when it's happening, I'm just saying to myself, as the person's just in my grill, just tearing me up, it's not personal. It's not personal. So what do you mean it's not personal? They're going after my God. I'm standing for the things of God, Jack. They're going after the things of God. It's not me. Think about it. That's wise, right? Because, man, I'd like, get over here, you. You know, right? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's late, though. It's late. We have to end. It's probably a good thing to end. Hey, let's end with this. Hezekiah is tracking. He sees God deliver. It's a very challenging thing. Hezekiah prays and asks God to do something. He's crying and weeping and howling about it. God answers his prayer, and the prayer turns out to be to a great ruin for the life of Hezekiah. Go think on that for a while. He's crying out to God, crying out to God. God, do this. God, do this. God, do this. God does it for him, and it turns out to be the worst thing. Who made a mistake? Was it God? Or was Hezekiah forcing something that wasn't to be his? That's an important thing. And the takeaway tonight is this. Know that the enemy is out to destroy your life. And the first step of the enemy destroying your life is for Satan to get you to believe he does not exist. The second thing is that you fail to recognize that he uses things that speak to us. It could be money, it could be power, it could be leisure, it could be sex, it could be drugs, it could be fame. He uses those things. He knows our desires and our lustful pursuits. He knows that. He's very smart. And so what we want to do is be wise as a people. We want to We want to learn what those ambassadors learned. We heard, but we didn't respond. And take it to the Lord and lay it out before the Lord. We need to start doing that more often. Now, you can't do that here. It's not supposed to be done here. This is a day-to-day thing in your private life. You ever been misunderstood? Are you being misunderstood? Is someone not getting what you're trying to communicate? Go take that before the Lord. Is there something in your life that doesn't make any sense? Take it before the Lord. Lay it out before him. And I truly end with this. Why not write it down on a piece of paper and physically lay it on the ground in your house and look at it and say, Lord, I lay this out before you. Whatever that issue might be. Healing, money, personal relationships issues, whatever the issue is. Father, we thank you so much. It's really remarkable, God, that we can be reading a 3,000-year-old document right here, right now, and see how human nature never changes and how we can glean out of it. Because, boy, we can all relate to someone intimidating us and yelling at us, but wow, when Satan is the grand accuser of the brethren, and how your word says he accuses us day and night before you. We thank you, Father, that all of his words, they come out of his wretched mouth, and they never make it past the veil of the salvation of Christ Jesus. So, Father, tonight, may those who are in this place who have been held captive by the fear of never living up to what some standard they've set, or somehow feeling that they're a second-rate believer, or that you're out to punish them, that would be gone from them now forever. That's not what you do to your kids. Father, may this church get up tonight and walk in boldness and in joy, knowing that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we thank you, Father God, that there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We give you our lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called With God's Defense, Part 1. Thanks for spending time with us today, and don't allow Satan to keep you in fear. There is victory in Jesus Christ over any situation you may find yourself. With God's Defense, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, have you had a chance to catch a few videos on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel? He's got some amazing, hard-hitting topics on there that can really help your faith. In these videos, Pastor Jack tackles some pretty controversial subjects. So if you're a Christian who wants to dive deeper into what the Bible says about border control, immigration, abortion, gun control, racism, socialism, and drug use, the series is called Engaging the Culture. It's critical that believers stay informed about what's happening in their culture today, when so many of our leaders aren't lobbying for the gospel or the church. Now, most of us have paid some attention to YouTube, so next time you sit down at the computer, head over to Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the YouTube channel, and learn how to engage the culture that you live in and point others towards Christ. And don't forget to click on the notifications icon for the latest video. If you need more info, it's available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.